Welcome to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Your host, Carl Nordgren, will teach you how to take an expansive view on what it means to be creative and entrepreneurial. Carl is an entrepreneur, novelist, and a lifelong student. For 20 years, he has been learning how to help folks grow their creative capacities. Now, here's Carl.
Hello and welcome. This is Carl Nordgren. The show is Exploring Your Creative Genius. Thanks for listening. This is episode number 36. And I want to spend just a quick moment here, folks, reminding us what a wonderful resource we have with this radio station, WCHL. I'm sure you know, you need to know, that this is the radio station of the year in North Carolina, 2 years in a row. It's the radio station that wins awards for the greatest community involvement, for serving us in this community. And Aaron Keck, oh my gosh, I think he's won a radio personality of the year, 2 years in a row. These are delightful folks. I keep teasing them that we should write a TV show about all the challenges that a scrappy radio station faces to serve its community. It would be a wonderful show. They're working so hard to service folks. Also go to chapelboro.com, their website. The current events page is such a wonderful resource for you. And always contact me at carl@creativepopulist.com if you have an idea for a show, an idea for a guest. And speaking of guests, I've got a great one in the studio with us today, folks. I keep track, and this gentleman that I'm going to introduce to you, Charles Robinson, is a Duke grad, but I assure you I've had three Carolina grads, I've had three Duke grads, and I've had one North Carolina Central University grad. So I'm keeping track, and we love all the schools in this area. So Charles Robinson has become a very successful entrepreneur, a very successful investor. He takes a create advantage, not take advantage approach to his work. Four of his businesses have achieved an average valuation of $75 million. He's the founder of the Robinson Capital Group and 1888 Ventures, where his innovative practices have resulted in significant improvements in the community. He's a dedicated family man. In fact, my youngest daughter and his wife are good friends. We found that out after we met each other. So, Charles, thank you so much for joining us. And add to that introduction. Tell us a little bit more about you.
Oh, thanks so much, Carl, man. One, I'm super excited to be connected with you. I mean, many people may not know this, but Carl has definitely been an amazing consigliere in my life. But then also, outside of that, thinking creatively and you know, a little bit of what we're talking about, my background, you know, I'm just excited to be here, excited to try and make change and things like that. So nothing additional to add outside of that.
Well, thanks very much again for being here. So tell us some stories, right? Tell us some stories. Well, let's start with some stories about where you got started in your entrepreneurial career. What was the first impulse that you had to get into entrepreneurship?
Man, let's see. Impulse, I like the way you use that word, impulse. Like I said, anything you do is extremely creative. But where I would say my first impulse to jump into entrepreneurship is just being around a bunch of friends who were always entrepreneurial. So, you know, I had friends, you know, at Duke who, you know, one of them, you know, jumped into Facebook early on in my sophomore year in college, saw that, not necessarily seeing the results of that, but then also having friends who were starting companies who pulled me into, you know, trying to do companies. So, you know, my first go at it, I think it was, there was a company called VStrader. And it was a telestration company. So immediately after leaving banking and trying to figure out what I wanted to do is when the time where we met, Rob Autry had started a company called VStrader, and that's where I kind of saw the beauty of that. And then I met another guy, Jess Lipson, who started a company called ShareFile. And he was the one that kind of pushed me and said, hey, man, it's not that difficult. You just try it out. Just jump out of the window. So from there is where I would say I got my first impulse to kind of answer that question.
Well, the first company, VStrader?
Yeah.
Isn't that the one that pioneered, you know, like doing the
telestration,
telestration on
stuff.
The football
yep.
field and all that good stuff?
Yep, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So that was a Durham company.
It was a Durham company.
Okay.
Yep.
Oh, very cool.
It definitely was.
How long were you with them?
A year. So I'll tell you right now, like this is probably kind of transitioning into a piece where a combination of jumping in the impulse, but then like my first quote unquote failure story was that I had jumped in to something thinking I knew everything going on in the entrepreneur ecosystem, but there was so much technical ability that I did not have at the time. Long story short, I was fired from that that role through the board. It was just losing too much money in regards to the budget. So
everybody's got to be fired at least once or twice.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You're not doing it right if you're not fired once
or
twice.
You're not trying hard enough.
Well, that's a setback working with somebody else when you got into your own entrepreneurial gigs, your own startups. Pick one out and tell us a little bit of, you know, tell us a couple of stories about how you got started and what the challenges were. We just want to hear you sort of unpack one of your entrepreneurial journeys.
So, yeah, man, I mean, one of the key themes that throughout my entire entrepreneurial journey that most people will recognize is my relationship. So, you know, one of the company's Teamworks, you know, really close friend and brother of mine, we both played football together at Duke, was one of those entrepreneurial journeys that I jumped on. And, you know, from there is where I really understood the difference between complexity versus difficulty. Successful business is not necessarily something that's complex, but it's difficult because it requires a lot of discipline. It requires a lot of staying within the boundaries of what you set out to do, and not getting caught up in the flash and other people's ideas when you're starting to have success. So that's one thing I've realized with Teamworks, whether we start with football and then gradually went to athletic departments and then went to other sports, and now, you know, just recently raised the Series E, $65 million, and is really successful. You know, that's one piece of the pie that I think was very successful in regards to my journey. The other part, Forward Cities, is, you know, someone, Christopher Gergen, he and I, you know, connected on his book he wrote, The Life of Entrepreneurship. And, you know, understanding outside of the boundaries, but then also having similar mission and philosophy, it's just fun. It's just partnering up with people that you like and doing some really cool things. So those are kind of the couple stories that I had.
Well, relationships, partnering, you know, there's a word that people label all that with, which is your social capital, right? Your social capital. And my understanding of being creative for much of my life was the classic idea that says a creative idea comes from a creative mind. Research now shows that the best creative ideas come from your social capital network. The more robust, the more extensive, the more diverse your social capital network is, the more likely you're going to be the person that comes up with the idea that's going to be both unique but also applicable, right?
Absolutely.
No good to be unique if it can't fit. Right?
Absolutely.
So that's wonderful. I'm glad that you hit those relationships. I'm also glad that you brought up this ecosystem idea, because we want to talk about that in the next segment, folks. So come on back in the next segment. You're going to hear more of Charles' experiences and his wisdoms. Thank you very much.
You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius with Carl Nordgren.
The Chapel Hill Media Group is 97.9 The Hill WCHL, your hometown radio station, and chapelboro.com, your hometown online newspaper with local news.
Welcome back to News on the Hill.
Local events.
The Carrboro Music Festival is back.
Music for folks who love music. And Tar Heel Sports.
Carolina is going to go to the national championship.
Get informed and connected with your community through the Chapel Hill Media Group.
Welcome back to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Here's your host, Carl Nordgren.
Folks, welcome back. Thank you for coming back. I'm here in the studio with Charles Robinson. We've been talking about how he learned to be an entrepreneur, and where we broke, he was talking about the importance of his relationships. You heard him tell stories about different folks who reached out to him to say, hey, come over here and let's work together on these ideas. And so, you know, social capital is what we're talking about here, right? Your colleagues, your friends, your associates, and having a rich social capital network is so important for your creative and entrepreneurial life. And so I've asked Charles to spend just another moment talking about social capital, and then we're going to move into this ecosystem idea that he's told us a little bit about as well. So, Charles?
Yeah, so I mean, when it comes to social capital, I mean, for me, that was probably one of the most powerful things in my entrepreneurial journey. I don't believe that I come even nearly close to who I am today if it's not for that. You know, my relationship with you is a form of social capital. Relationship with Zach or Christopher, or even the relationships I have built and am building now, is just constantly reiterating to me is that, and I think you said this in earlier in the previous segment, was that creative ideas come from a creative mind. And the more you are around creative minds, the more opportunities you have to, you know, generate creative ideas, and then those creative ideas generate to creative forms of execution. And then you can, you know, if you can do that long enough, you'll get some form of economies of scale where it becomes very interesting. I can't say you're going to be the next Facebook or anything like that, but interesting nevertheless is it will definitely be.
Yes. So when I teach about social capital, where I will often begin in my urging of folks to, and my advice to folks about how they should build it, is to be generous, right? Because it's human nature. When I'm generous with you, it's your inclination to be generous in return. It's not going to happen 100% of the time, but it's going to happen the vast majority of the time. That's who we are. And so if I've been generous with folks, and that has positioned them in my social capital network, I've got all those folks out there that now want to be generous with me when I call upon them, right? And so, wow, that just sounds like where you want to be. What are your tips for building social capital? Do you have any?
Tips for building social capital? I mean, one of the key things that you hit it on the head, you know, generosity is piece of it. But you want to start with what can you do to help? That's the first thing is, you know, anyone that I've met recently, and the older I get, the wiser I get in the business, I'm always asking, you know, how can I help?
Right.
And I'm a relationship first type of guy. So most of the times, you know, I don't jump into something transactional, but even with the most transactional person that you will meet with, having the idea and the thought that I want to help first will always get you further in building your social capital than saying, what can you do for me? So, yeah, that's one of the key things I think was very beneficial in building social capital.
Very nice. Very nice. And now the topic that I'm just so eager to get to. I've heard you talk about this. I've heard Chris Gergen, who you've mentioned, talk about this, how you together built these really, really robust ecosystems. And so talk about that. When I've heard you guys talk about that, I thought, wow, I would love to have participated in that kind of activity. It just seems like it would have been so satisfying. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well,
that
was probably one of the most fun times in my entrepreneurial journey. I mean, Christopher and I literally just met a couple of days ago. And one interesting thing that Christopher and I do is when we meet, we usually meet in the mornings as a workout. So it's like people are not going to go over on those times because you're either going to get your butt kicked and you're just going to be winded and just it doesn't look good. But in regards to, you know, the ecosystems that you're speaking about, the key that I recognize, and you know, we're going to jump into this a little more, is just the commonwealth of how do we bridge the gap where most people are not at the table. And Christopher and I had a very similar mission and thought process of how do we bring more access to capital, access to a network, and more opportunities to invest or participate in some form of investing. And a lot of times, especially in these different cities, they were worried about having one massive organization in their city. But if they left, just like any business with one customer, it pretty much tanks the business, just like it would tank the city. So the city had a vested interest in having diversity in their tax revenue base. And we had an interest in trying to figure out ways that more people can have what we call like the American dream, you know, to be able to have some form of freedom, to be able to do the things that they want to do with their families and experience the opportunities that America can bring through entrepreneurship. So because of that, you know, Christopher and I just began to have these conversations with other folks, like-minded, speaking with backbone organizations, community organizations, and those were the three things that we found. And from there, we just started to meet with folks and transferring the resources that we had to those communities, those backbone organizations, and then allow them to solve those problems because they had the solutions. We were a catalyst to provide strategic interventions in these communities. And what we found is that as we provided those strategic interventions, those communities thrived.
Outstanding, outstanding. It reminds me, as I'm hearing you say this, of a quote. I think it came from Mitch Kapoor, K-A-P-O-R. A lot of you folks may not recognize that name. He was one of the very, very first technology breakthrough guys. Lotus 1-2-3, I think, was the product that he created. And his phrase is, talent is equally distributed across all zip codes, but opportunity is not. And so that's what you all are addressing, right, is this idea that talent is out there across all, you know, throughout our country, the talent is distributed, but opportunity is not. Access to opportunity is limited for an awful lot of populations. And so for you to do that work to make it more likely that folks would have access, I mean, that's good. I mean, all the ripple effects of goodness that come from that, right, for the individual, mm-hmm. for the community. And enough of those and enough. How many cities did you work with?
Man, we worked at minimum before I transitioned more on the investment side around like 48 cities throughout the country.
Wow. What a significant impact that has. Yeah. What a significant impact that has. That's got to make one feel awfully, awfully good.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to wind down here now, folks, from the end of the second segment. But I promise you that Charles will be back for a third and final segment. And it's going to be a great segment as well. So thank you for staying with us and come on back.
You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius with Carl Nordgren.
My name is Hubert Davis, and 97.9 The Hill is my hometown radio station.
Welcome back to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Here's your host, Carl Nordgren.
Welcome back. I hope you're enjoying your Sunday. I know I'm enjoying my Sunday listening to Charles Robinson tell us some great stories about how he became an entrepreneur and what he's done to help other people become entrepreneurs. And in this last segment, I've asked Charles to help you all with your creative and your entrepreneurial lives by giving, some, you know, maybe sharing some tips, talk about a book or two that he thinks is going to be great for people to read or a podcast. So, Charles, finish up the show with some of your good advice for the folks that are listening to us.
Oh, man. Well, I mean, a lot of what I would consider advice just comes from relationships with really smart, creative people. So I want to attribute, you know, a few of the ideas that I have to that and a little bit about my experience. But, you know, before jumping into, like, the technical piece of the books, I want to kind of frame up, you know, some ideas that I think for any entrepreneur at any age, whether you're in college or in your 40s, 50s, 60s, entrepreneur, there are a set of things that I've known, especially in this time, that will be very beneficial in your entrepreneur journey. So one is the study of macroeconomics, game theory, psychology, persuasion, and math.
Persuasion.
These are all great things. And then there's another book called Creative Populist. And I'm not saying this because it's you, but there are a lot of things, especially as I get older and have, you know, some success in different things, that I think that the way I did it before is the way I need to do it now. And I get this blockage when it doesn't work the way that I did it before. So, you know, that's one thing I would say. I'm a huge philosophy person. Like, through and through, the more I've become successful in entrepreneurship, the more philosophy I lean into.
Yay, that's fun.
So a few philosophy books, Letters from Marcus Aurelius is one book. Even a podcast with Naval is actually the name of the podcast. And I'll just stop there with those two in regards to some of the resources that you could start to do. And then really the ultimate resource is connection with people. The more you ask questions, the more you listen to people's stories, the more you're going to be able to solve problems. Do not be afraid to just reach out to folks and ask people's questions. Yes. And you'll find that there are more solutions to your problems right in front of you than any book in any library or anything that you can pick up.
Nice. Well, when you're reaching out to folks, as Charles is recommending, to get folks engaged in whatever project you're working on, let me remind you all of something I think I might have shared a couple of shows ago, and that is the dramatic difference that occurs if you ask for somebody's advice versus if you ask for somebody's opinion. Mm. When you ask for somebody's opinion, it appears that people take like an emotional half a step back and they tell you what's wrong with your idea. If you ask for somebody's advice, they take a half a step towards you and they take like a partnership point of view and they help you improve the idea, right? So I try to be intentional with my language, and that's one for sure that I try to be intentional about, right? I catch myself saying, no, I'm not going to ask her for that piece of advice. I'm going to ask for her opinion.
I like that.
And so that's a useful one for sure. So we've got another minute or so here. What's
anything else?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
One thing I'll say in the minute that we do have is I am a parent of four kids. And one thing I want to, you know, say, you know, with parents as well, you know, I want my kids to be creative, whether they're entrepreneurs or not. I want them to be able to solve problems in a creative way and think outside the box. So, you know, with that being said, you know, a few things that I think of, you know, with having children is, one, get them outside and just have them explore. You know, I know it's difficult in regards to like devices and things like that, but, you know, getting them to explore, give them a project and you know, don't limit them. You know, one of my kids wanted to do a YouTube channel, like, you need to get to 20 subscribers by next week. And he did it. And my son wanted to sell Pokemon cards for $500. And I'm like, you can do it. And the creative way I got in, what he was able to do, he just asked his uncle to ask him to buy it. And he did it. You know, it was a donation in my eyes. But long story short, you know, my kids were able to do it. So that's another thing I would say in regards to resources as well.
Great. Well, I appreciate that. We've talked on the show a couple of times about how important it is for parents to be intentional in their efforts to help develop the creative qualities of their kids. The future is filled with unknowable unknowns. Mm-hmm. The only thing I think we can do to prepare anybody for the future is to help them be their most creative selves, creative and entrepreneurial selves. Charles, thank you so very much
for being here. I'm so happy.
I so appreciate it. Folks, we're going to have this show not only broadcast a couple times here on Sunday, but it'll be also on chapelboro.com. And so you can see, listen to it there again. And so come on back next week. We'll have another great show for you. Once again, thank you very much, Charles, for joining us.
I appreciate you.
This has been Exploring Your Creative Genius on 97.9 The Hill. You can listen to other episodes on chapelboro.com.